Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Mark chapter 9. We're going to start with verse 14. In verse 14, at the foot of the mountain, Jesus had been up with Peter, James, and John. They'd been up. Actually, there was a tremendous revelation. We call it the Transfiguration that took place on the mountain. But when they came down from the mountain on that day, at the foot of the mountain, they found a great crowd surrounding the other disciples, as some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. The crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them, and they ran to greet him. And Jesus says, "What is all this arguing about?" And one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought you." No, he said, "I brought my son for you to heal." He wanted to bring his son to Jesus, but Jesus was up on the mountain. So he said, "I brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this evil spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth, grind his teeth, become rigid." So this is what's going on. The disciples are there. The other disciples are there, other than Peter, James, and John. And he said, "I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." And Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy to Jesus. The evil spirit, when it saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. He fell to the ground, writhing, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked, "How long has he been like this? How long has this been happening?" The father said, "Since he was very small. Evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can." Now let me just pause for a moment and address the difference between satanic, demonic possession, and just a condition of the mind or the body, or maybe from an accident. This condition was not simply a physical condition. This was a spiritual condition. It's possible to break an arm. It's possible to break a toe, or some of you have had broken bones, you've got splinters, you've had things happen to you. Those things are not demons. It's possible to be an accident, be busted up really bad, and not have your mind be able to make good decisions. And that doesn't mean you're demon-possessed, but one who is demon-possessed, the demon has charge, not the person. And the person may occasionally have intermittent times when they may be able to make some choices, but there will be a reoccurring presence of this demonic spirit that will drive them to destruction. And we do have many people today in our nation that are demon-possessed that need to be delivered. I believe we have some leaders that may be demon-possessed, the way they speak and what is taking place. And there is deliverance. This young man has a demonic condition. And the question of the father is, what I want you to think about. What? Do something if you can. That's the question. Can you do something? Can you do something? And I want to just apply this scripture in this way. All of us, whether we are in Christ, whether we are searching or seeking, because some will be watching, we have people watching today and we welcome you. But whatever place you are in reference to the Father's house, whether you're a long ways off, whether you're still out spending all kinds of your treasures, whether you're blowing your life, whether you're still enjoying, or whether you're in a pig pen, or whether you're back home, or whether you're religious, you're the religious brother, whatever condition you're in, the question is this: when you come to God, there's something that all of us need that only God can do. There's going to be something going on in your life. There's going to be some relationship. There's going to be something in your own mind. There's going to be something in your family. There's going to be something going on in all of our lives today that only God is able to take care of. And that very place is where God wants to meet us. Right there at that place. And this dad, I don't know what else was going on, but he wanted his son healed. He wanted that condition to be removed from his family. And I suspect that many of us here today, there's something that God is putting on our hearts. And the enemy is saying, why are you even still praying about that? Why are you even still believing about that? And we're talking about hope, finding hope in our generation. If we're going to find hope, we need to bring hope in God to the situations that are out of control. In our life, in our family, in our health, in our finances, in our community, in our nation. We need to bring those situations to God. And maybe the question is, maybe you're a person full of faith and you're trusting God and it's settled and that's a hallelujah. Or maybe someone is listening today because God did put this on my heart. Someone may be listening today that it really is asking the question, God, can you do anything with this mess? Maybe the mess is a marriage. Maybe the mess is your past. Maybe your mess has to do with the law. Maybe your mess has to do with your thinking. Maybe the mess has to do with habits or hang-ups that are in your life. I don't know. Maybe the mess is what other people are doing around you in your family. You know, curses need to be broken. Strongholds need to come down. Deliverance needs to be released. Healing and salvation needs to come to many of our families. So whatever it is, the question is appropriate to ask, can you do something with my situation, God? And I want you to understand that this man had a measure of faith or he would have never come. He would have never come. I think about, why do we go to church? Because we have a measure of faith and we're in relationship with God. Or we're hoping. See, that's that word hope again. Hoping that maybe God could do something. Well, let me tell you, God is able to do something with that situation and with every situation if we will bring them to Him, right? There's many of you that can testify over many years of your life where you haven't brought one situation. You brought hundreds of situations to God. You can talk about, I was in the valley, I went through the shadows, I've had this challenge, I've had that challenge, but I want to tell you what God has done for me. That was the song that Ruddy and Jasmine were singing. Let me tell you about what God has done. Let me talk to you about my past. Let me tell you where Jesus showed up. Let me tell you how God has delivered. Let me tell you about the miracles that He has done in my life. And we need to talk about those miracles. And we need to encourage one another. And we need to remember that those miracles were done by the same God that's meeting us this morning, right now, where we are today as well. This father is saying, do something if you can. Somebody might want to be praying that right now today. I don't know. But do something if you can. And Jesus asked, said to him, what do you mean, if I can? All things, anything is possible if a person believes. All things are possible. All things are possible. Well, Pastor, I think it's too late. Pastor, I think I messed up too many times. I don't see any hope for this situation. Maybe a family situation. I just don't see it. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord this morning and remind ourselves that nothing is too hard for God. I'm really thankful that we have some politicians that are standing up. Do you know what that took? They had to believe that God was able to do something. They had to do something different than what the rest of the nation was doing. Somebody had to stand up and say, we are going to step out of the boat. We're going to step out of where we are. We are going to call our state back to God. And they put their neck on the line. They put their reputation on the line. They put their office on the line. They put a lot of things, money. They put a lot of things on the line, just like our founders did of this nation. They stood up, they stepped out, they put their name on some paper, they stood up against other governments and said, we're going to have a nation where we can honor God and serve God, and the blessing of God can be in our land. And here we have leaders saying, we need that again. We're ready to stand up. The father instantly replied, I do believe. But then he said something else. He said, but help my unbelief. I do believe. When the word talks about having a measure of faith, that's something God gives us. You don't go out and get it. I can't give you a measure of faith. God's given you a measure of faith. That measure of faith that you have is adequate to serve whatever need you have in your life today. You see, if God allowed a need to show up that's bigger than the measure of faith that He's given you, then how would you ever believe God for the place where you are right now? But I'm confident that when the Word says that whatever temptation comes against you, God will provide a way out, that He will not allow you to come under more than you're able to bear. And there have been times in my life where I'm like, God, I can't carry anymore. I can't bear anymore. But that's me. That's me. God shows up and says, but together, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will carry you. And this is the promise of God. That measure of faith. When I was 15, I was sitting way back in the back, big crowd, a few thousand people, sitting back there, and God began to talk to me, and God began to call me. And I remember that night as I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, I felt like I needed to go down and pray, and I'm like, I can't do that. No one's going for prayer. No one is asking anyone to come. And I remember sitting there and thinking, well, surely this isn't the time for me. But God was saying, today is your day to believe and receive. Now is the time. Now is the time. And finally, I stepped out of the seat and I just went all the way down that long aisle and got to that altar and just hit the floor. And you know what I decided that night before I left my seat? I don't know and I don't care what anyone else is going to think or what anyone else is going to do. All that matters to me, I want God to know that I'm going to give Him a chance with my life. In fact, you know what? I prayed that silly prayer. God, if you can do anything with me, I'm going to give you a shot at my life. If this works, you've got me. If it doesn't work, I'm out. 15 years old. Say, well, why didn't God just strike you with lightning? You know, that wasn't showing God much respect, right? Because God listens to us. When the prodigal starts moving toward God, when we start waking up, we didn't wake up on our own, did we? God woke us up. God awakened our heart. We were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the way our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, and our families are going to come to God. God is knocking on their door, and God is going to keep knocking. And God is going to bring them. He's going to awaken them. And so today is a day of salvation. This week as we celebrate the freedom we have in this room to come here this morning and celebrate our faith. No one is coming through the doors. No one is threatening us with a rifle saying, deny your faith or else you're going to be shot this morning. No one is doing that. We're in a free nation and we're still able to take the gospel to the world. And we have freedom this morning to choose to believe. I want to just encourage you to exercise all of that faith that God has given you. Whatever level it is, on whatever level of need you have. And I'm mindful this morning, I have a sister that's somewhere, I don't know where she is. And I'm praying for that sister. And I'm praying that wherever she is, that her heart will be returned to God. And not only to God, but that we will be restored in fellowship. I want my family restored. I want my family restored. One thing, Michael, when you were with us, I'm picking on Michael a little this morning. When Michael was with us the other day, he was talking about being reconnected sort of with your mom. How after years of just disasters. And this week we had some ladies in. One lady 1 year ago. 1 year ago, she was at the end of her rope. Her testimony was that, you know, she lost her job. She lost her car. She lost her kids. She was homeless. She was in jail. And they let her out of jail. She decides, I have nothing. I'm going to have to take my life. There's no reason for me to live. She was despondent. She's at the end of her rope. But in jail, a girl in jail said, when you get out, I want you to listen to this radio station. I want you to listen to 89.9. She said, the only thing that had kept me from taking my life, I wanted to make sure it was an accident so my children would not feel they were responsible. She said, while I'm contemplating that, I turned the radio on to 89.9, and she said, as I'm listening, a phone number is given, and there's a phone number for Families Recover. She said, I got that number, I made that call, and that was a year ago. She said, that was the day I took a step toward life. It was a little step, but I made a phone call. And she said from that day, now it's a year. She's been sober a year. The DUIs and all that stuff, it'll come off the record. She's getting close to getting her license and getting everything restored. The job that she, medical job, high-paying job, well-trained lady. You know, the devil doesn't care. He'll take him out from the top or the bottom. The devil doesn't care. And here she was. She was a despondent. But she said in the radio station and said, one year, God has almost restored everything that I lost. And it looked impossible. Even my job, they said, yes, we want her back. We want her back, took her back. She has her job back. Everything's being restored. And God's taking care of everything. And she wanted to come in to WCNO and celebrate her one-year anniversary of life. I want for all of us just to say, thank Jesus if you have been brought out of darkness into the light. And understand what Independence Day is all about. Yes, we thank God for our nation, but we thank God that God has delivered us from the power of Satan. Satan, sin, sickness, disease, death, and hell. God has delivered us. And we of all people have everything to celebrate and be excited about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And not just for us. Not just for us. We're going to break bread in just a moment. And that's communion. And everyone who's in Christ is welcome to share communion. You know, I look out and I see everyone, and all of you look like you're all ready for heaven, or you're ready to stay here a while longer if God so wills. But you all kind of look like, you know, you're pretty nice people. I don't feel like I need to hide my wallet or anything. You know, I'm not concerned about that. But you know, God looks into our hearts, doesn't He? And I want to encourage you, if the Father's running toward you and you're not yet running toward Him, I want to encourage you to take that first step. Take that first step that Teresa took. And I'm so blessed, you know, to sit in that room, three girls, all three of them just taking a step back toward God. And I think all of them having failed several times before. And I asked them what was different this time. I said, what's different this time? Because they talked about the one girl's name. I won't give her name. But the one girl was saying, I'd messed up before. I said, well, is it different now? Is it different? She said, it's different this time. She said, I got to the bottom. I got to the end of myself. I finally quit. I knew what she was saying. She was saying what the prodigal said. The prodigal said, I finally woke up and said, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Amen. Amen. Well, the Word of God says that God is still in the saving business. Isn't that good news for America? We want to be in prayer with Tennessee as Tennessee is praying for God's mercy. We want to pray for God's mercy in Florida too, and all across the United States, right? We want to pray for that. And let's also pray for not only just our families, but others that we're believing that need to take that step to come back. And maybe someone's watching today, maybe someone's in this room that needs to just stop and say, I'm going to give God a shot in my life. I'm going to start this morning. I'm going to start today. If you're listening, this may be on radio at some point. If it is, and you're listening to this message is for you. If you're a child of God and the enemy's been telling you you're wasting your time praying for those grandkids, for your children, tell the devil to shut up. Get off your back. You're going to keep trusting God, that God is in charge and that God always wins and you're on the winning team and you're going to stand with God and you're just going to declare that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And if you're out there, and maybe you're at a place where this lady was when she turned on WCNO. Well, you know, this morning maybe you turned on Abundant Life Service and you're listening. Let me tell you, right now is the perfect time to come to Jesus. Perfect time to come to Jesus. Right now. Come to Jesus. We used to sing that song, Just As I Am, Without a Plea. That your blood was shed for me. Not, I got to get good enough to come to God. No, just get up and run to the Father. Doesn't matter if you smell a little, come to the Father. Doesn't matter if the pig's slop is still on you, come to the Father and just come to Him with all your heart and let Him give you the life that He has. Amen, amen, amen. Father, I thank You and I praise You for this week. We as a nation will have fireworks, probably a lot of hamburgers will be cooked and hot dogs. But also there will be a lot of people that will just not even think about what freedom means. There will be some that will be content to have a cooler full, maybe of their drinks and heading out to enjoy one another, but not thinking that all this freedom we have cost a lot of lives. A lot of people gave their lives. And Father, we as the church, as we celebrate the freedom we have, we are not going to forget that that freedom required the death of God's Son. We're going to remember that freedom costs something. Freedom, spiritual freedom, required the death of God's only sinless Son. And through Christ, we have forgiveness of sin. The Word of God says if you're hungry, you're thirsty, if you're needy, if your life is a mess, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And just starts right in your own heart. I think for me that night, it didn't start when I made it up to an altar. It started when I was back in the back of the building. But in my heart, God was saying, why don't you give me your life, Jonathan? Why don't you give me your life? Why don't you just choose life for a change? Instead of running, instead of rebelling, why don't you choose life? I believe it started right back there when I was sitting in that seat and I said, okay, God, tonight's the night. I believe today's the day. I believe today's the day for the church to say, America has not gone too far. It's not too late. Father, we just pray for this nation. Again, we commit it into Your hands. I pray, Father, for those that You're speaking to today that need to take a step and return to God. Maybe to this point You have come and gone. Maybe You came in and out. Maybe You grew up with knowledge of God. Maybe You didn't. Doesn't matter. If you're at a place where you said, I've had enough, I'm coming to God, make that decision right now. And I want to invite you right where you are. If you're watching, you're in this room, I want to invite you right where you are to just in the depths of your heart say, I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. I know that I've sinned. I know that I've ran. I know that I've been a scoundrel. I've wasted a lot of time. But I'm coming back home to You, God. I'm not going to play the game anymore. I'm tired. I'm tired of being a con. I'm tired of trying to fake my way until I make it. God, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Baptize me, Holy Spirit. Renew me. Give me that new beginning. You pray that kind of a prayer, God is right on top of that, listening, receiving You right now. Right now. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. This morning as I was in prayer, early this morning, I knew that God was going to be calling some people to come to Him today. Some to return. Some to just come back. Maybe there's some backsliders that's listening that need to just come back to God. Come back to God. And I'm taking a little time because it's important that we celebrate what God has done for us, and it's important that we give time for those who are considering their next step to make a decision with all their heart. Because God says, when you seek Me with all your heart, I will be found. So Lord, we seek You that way this morning. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Share for me. We're going to take communion, but just before we do that, if we could just pause with our heads bowed for a moment and just pray for those today across our nation that will be making decisions. Those that are right here in our own city, those that are watching, those that are listening, those of us that are here. Father, we pray one for another, for our families. Father, we want to thank you for the great salvation we have through Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, for bringing salvation to our families as well. As we just pray for a moment, our heads are bowed. If there are any in the room this morning that's just coming to the Lord, God's calling you back to Him this morning, and you know that He is, and God's working in your life, I'd like you just to slip a hand up. I want to see. I want to be able to pray with you. I'm not going to force you up here or try to get you to the front. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? God sees that hand too. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just pause for a moment. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. God's talking in my life. God's been good to me. He's dealing with me. Amen. See that hand? Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? God's calling me. I'm coming to Him. I'm listening. I'm listening. Anyone else? Okay. Well, if you're out there and you're listening in your home or your car, you can raise a hand up and say, I'm hearing you, God. I'm hearing you. Amen. Amen. All right, well, on the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed, prior to that, He took bread and He took the cup. He said, "This is my body that's given for you. This is my blood that's shed for you." Father, thank you for the body, the blood of Christ. This is a holy meal. It's for those who are born again. It's for those who have surrendered their lives and repented and turned to God and have chosen to follow you, Lord. Father, I have chosen to do that. Many in this room have chosen to do that. And so we celebrate this meal of life, and we remember with great joy. We remember all that you did for us and all that you continue to do for us. In Jesus' name, let's receive the bread together. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for loving us enough to give your Son Jesus, that by His blood, the price has been fully paid for our redemption. And your promise is you're coming again for us. We're looking for your coming. We look forward to your return. We thank you for loving us and purchasing us that we might be a part of your family and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we give praise. Let's receive together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."